picture, if you will, a little boy. He's about 9 years old, and he is laying on a grassy slope, got his arms behind his head. And the reason I can picture that is because I am that little guy. And there I am, laying down, even had a straw in my mouth, too. No big deal for a 9-year-old. Piece of straw, chewing on a piece of straw. Where we have looked up at the sky, we've looked at the clouds, and we've said, I see this or I see that. I think because when we see clouds coming and going and the change that's brought about by clouds, that sometimes we may be in error to say, well, maybe God is the same way. Maybe God is as changing as the clouds are, but we know that's not true. Our text comes today from Job chapter 36, verse 29. I invite you to turn to it, if you will, where Job makes a statement about the clouds. And he says in Job 36, verse 29, something very, very important, because it was something that I even asked when I was that young 9-year-old child. Job 36, 29, no one knows how the clouds move. Or, in other words, another translation says, can anybody understand the spreading of the clouds? Can you understand the spreading of the clouds? Of course, we can't. Psalm 36:5 says that God's faithfulness reaches up to the very clouds itself. Now, those of you who know about clouds know that they're different kind of clouds. They're clouds that are low. And in these low clouds, they're called stratus clouds. And they're very low from, you know, just right above our heads to maybe up to the 1,000 level. Then there are the cumulus clouds, which are the low clouds, 2 to 4,000 feet in height. Then the alto, and these are all abbreviations, the alto clouds are the low clouds that are above the low clouds, the middle clouds from like 10,000 feet to 14,000 feet. These alto clouds are the middle. But then there are the cirrus clouds, which are high, and the cirrus clouds are from 20 to 40,000 feet in the air. That's why when you're on a jumbo jet, you can fly through these beautiful clouds. As a matter of fact, you don't have to be in a jumbo jet. You can be in a small aircraft and still go through the clouds. When we first moved to King City, we drove over the coast through the Hunter Liggett Road. We went up the mountain, and the clouds were so low, they just sort of filled us completely. The car went right through the clouds, and one of my children said, Dad, does God live here? Because we couldn't even see. The clouds were all around us. Sometimes experiences in our life are like clouds. We can't see where we're going. We need some kind of a direction, and this is the direction that God gives us. Closely associated with clouds would be the fog. And I say this because once we were driving to a home in Southern California, and it was so foggy, the clouds were so low, we could not see. It was so bad, believe it or not, Nancy had to open the door of her car so I could see the white line to know where I was, so I could stay to a place on my side of the road to get to safety. God got it all lined up here, so when you're going through clouds, you won't get hit, nor will you hit, if you follow the guidebook through the clouds. Now, when we read about clouds in the Word of God, there are very few examples of clouds that have to do with the weather. Most of the clouds we read about in the Word of God have to do with symbolism, which we're going to look at in just a little bit. But when we do read about clouds, we're reading about a land that has such a constant temperature that, unlike the other surrounding countries, Palestine is very stable in its clouds, in its cloud and with its weather. On the west side, we have the Mediterranean Ocean or sea. On the right side, on the east side, we have the hot desert. And when the winds are coming off of the sea, they bring in a lot of clouds, they bring in a lot of moisture, and if the temperature on the ground is low, it's going to precipitate and rain. If the temperature is high, you'll just have the clouds without the rain. Last week, you went through some clouds, and you weren't even in an airplane. Your life went into clouds, because we do have these cloudy experiences. And yet the scripture says in Psalm 36:5 that the faithfulness of God reaches to the clouds. Now, because we live in a world where there's so many changes, so many things are changeable, it's easy for us to slip into an unconscious position where we think God is changeable too. But the point is, God is stationary when we go through the cloud. And I want you to realize that the clouds that are real are controlled by God. And the clouds through which we're passing as Christian men and women, young people and boys and girls, are also controlled by God. God is in the cloudy experiences that you go through with. And some of the clouds that some of you people are going through right now are so bad, so dark, it's even raining. Because you're in it. And you are weeping those tears, those rains. For those tears I died, Jesus said. And furthermore, not only if you're going through the dark, dark cloud, God says, even if you're going through a light gray cloud, I'm still in the cloud. Even if you're in the fluffy cloud, I'm still there in the cloudy experiences. In spite of the uncertain movements of these clouds, which we might see this afternoon or tomorrow, we realize that the shifting of the clouds through which we're going through as Christian people and through as a church and through as a nation are controlled by God. Our cloudy experiences, we can't escape them. We just can't escape them. You may wake up one morning in a cloud. I'm speaking symbolic of the experiences that we go through as Christian people. In Exodus chapter 19:9, there's a really good scripture I want you to remember. And if you remember nothing else I say, I want you to remember and commit to memory Exodus 19, verse 9. God is speaking, and he's speaking to Moses, and he says something very important. Lo, I will come to you in a cloud. Did you hear that, people? I will come to you in a cloud. Say that. I will come to you in a cloud. So why are we afraid of these clouds? Why are we afraid of the things that come against us? Things that we would not put a quarter in and want. Things that we have gotten. God says, lo, I come to you in a thick cloud. And it says thick cloud. So through these cloudy experiences, and maybe we should pause for a moment just to get a handle on some of these clouds. Are you thinking of a difficult time right now you're going through? Well, this equates to a cloud. One of the standard things, financial difficulty, marital problems, a job situation, something happening on the campus, our relationships with people. Are you going through a cloudy experience? Then remember, Exodus 19:9, God says, I'm coming to you. Well, not to you, but to you, to me. So when I read the word and it says, I'll come to you in a cloud, I'm going to say, well, who are you talking about, God? And God says, I'm talking about you. I will come to you in a thick cloud. So when we have these difficulties, oh, we call them clouds, tribulations. When they come as clouds, we say, you're not going to scare me. You're not going to scare me. I don't care how thick it is. I know God's going to come to me in the cloud. Furthermore, I know Psalm 104:3. It says, God makes the cloud his chariot. So I will not fear when going through difficult situations for four reasons. The first is this. There is life in the cloud. I turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Luke 12:24. And I read in God's Word, make that 54, 12:54. Jesus said also to the people, when you see a cloud coming, you see a cloud coming up in the west, and once you say, it's going to rain, and it does. When you see a thick cloud coming and you say, Lord, I'm right in the middle of this situation right now. Remember that God said, I'll meet you in the cloud, and he makes the cloud his chariot. Then also remember that there is life in the cloud, because clouds, when they give water, give off nourishment for the ground, and with the sunshine and the germination seed, we have the fruit that ultimately comes. There is life in the cloud. So I say, God, I'm going through this cloud. What am I going to do? He says, Neil, listen to Ecclesiastes 11:4. It is God who controls the cloud. Okay. So God, if you've controlled the cloud, you've allowed me to go through this cloudy experience, then I want life to come out of the cloud. And that is what the rain does. David sort of put it in different words, but as he said in Psalm 65, verse 9, you show your care for the land by sending rain. You make it rich and fertile. You fill the streams with water. You provide the earth with crops. This is how you do it. You send abundant rain on the plowed fields and soak them with water. You soften the soil with showers and cause the young plants to grow. This all comes as a result of the rain from the cloud. So first of all, we're not going to be afraid of this disaster that has struck your home or your life or something that you're involved in, because God is there, and you're going to claim that in it is going to be life. But people, there's more than life in clouds. According to Luke chapter 9, verse 34, there is glory in the cloud. Luke chapter 9, verse 34. Dr. Luke, writing, chapter 9, verse 34. This is on Mount Hermon, it is believed. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration, where while it says he was speaking, while Jesus was talking to them, what appeared all of a sudden? A cloud. You know, you just could be living with somebody, talking with somebody, working with somebody, having fun with somebody, and all of a sudden, a cloud can come. While he was still speaking to them, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadows. And the disciples were happy, gay, excited. Oh, no, no, no. They were what? Afraid. They were afraid. People, there's glory in the cloud. It should not produce fear. But it has. It has produced fear, because we're reading it right now. The cloud came all over the disciples, and they were afraid. Remember I said that God lives in the cloud? It says right here, a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. So in your cloud, peg it, people, God is the God of clouds. Why do you know that? Because it says right here, when the cloud came, the disciples were afraid, and the voice came from the cloud. It didn't come from above or beyond or somewhere else or through anybody else. It came from the cloud. A voice said from the cloud, this is my son. So you see, there's glory in the cloud. Matthew 17:5. Well, we have here the other recorded account of the same thing. As they were looking on Jesus, he experienced a change. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes were dazzling white. The three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And then while Moses talking with Jesus, Peter said, goodness, it is so good to see you here. I'm going to make three tents, one for each one of you. And while he was talking, the shining cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud spoke. So the second thing to get a handle on the cloud is this. When you're going through a difficult time, there can be glory in the cloud. Life, glory, And look at Exodus chapter 40:36. Oh, this is a good one. There's direction in your clouds, people. Exodus chapter 40, verse 36. The story is, as many of you know, the children of Israel are en route. They're being pursued hotly by Pharaoh and his army, the chariots. And in chapter 40, verse 36, it says the Israelites moved their camp to another place only when what happened? When the cloud lifted from the tent. So I say, God, right now I am in a very bad situation. In fact, it is very bad. I am in a cloud. It's not dark enough for me to cry, but it's dark, it's dark. What am I going to do? God says, well, what did the Israelites do when they were involved with a cloud? The cloud gave them direction. The cloud gave direction. So you say, God, in this cloud that I'm now living, I want it to be used for direction because I know the pastor said, as he read from the word, I am in the cloud. God's in the cloud. So if God's in the cloud, then I will say, God, direct me. So he, people, will use his cloud that he has given or permitted to come your way. He will use it to direct you. And the children of Israel watched the cloud. They weren't afraid of the cloud. The cloud was their friend. They had learned to trust in the Jehovah God. And so when the cloud lifted and moved down the road, they picked up their children and their livestock and their kids from their tents, and they went on too. So do you hear what I'm saying? When we have these cloudy experiences, let's just don't get mad at God or someone else. Let's say, God, I will use this cloud that I think is so bad for direction. Case in point, when I had my automobile accident back in 1958, to me it was a dark cloud. I was going here and there, and God was blessing, and it was an exciting, adventuresome life in different states and preaching and traveling on trains a whole lot. And the church where I was had just getting ready to dedicate a new educational building. I was going back to the church for that next morning service when on the freeway between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, a drunk man walked across my path. I had a brand new Renault Dauphine. I had only had it for about 4 days. I took it home to show my folks. And they said, oh, Neil, it's such a small car. Well, it was. So when I swerved and missed the drunk man, I rolled the car, and I remember seeing in pitch blackness, because I was on the concrete, the car was upside down, I could see the red and the green light that was still on. And that was dark. And the clouds that came to my life following that was very dark indeed. But happening 1,200 miles away, Nancy's breaking an engagement with a person, and she's in a dark cloud. Oh, this is so bad. But God used her dark cloud and my dark cloud as direction because it kept me in the graduate school for an extra 3 months, I guess, to meet Nancy, who was being directed down there. And so when we get in the dark clouds, we can say, I don't like this. It surely hurts. But God, I'm going to let you direct my path just like you directed the Israelites' path in the cloud. And there's something else in closing. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, many of you won't even have to turn to this passage about Noah because you know what I'm going to talk about, don't you? Chapter 9, verse 13. We read about a cloud that came, but God did something with the cloud, to the cloud, because remember, God is the God of and in the cloud. Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. This is God talking. I am putting my bow, my rainbow, in the cloud. It will be the sign of my covenant with the world. Whenever I cover the sky with clouds and the rainbow appears, I will remember my promise. When the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember my covenant. In the clouds, God says, I'm going to put my rainbow. I've labeled this rainbow to be several things, but I put down protection. I put down protection because in it God says, I'm going to give you my promise. With 1,100 promises, I can claim just several of those in the Word of God day by day. God says, I'm putting in the cloud the rainbow. So you know, people, when you go through this difficult situation, when things are not right as you want them to be, you say, God, it's getting dark in the cloud that I am moving around, but I remember you're the God in the cloud. You're the God of the cloud. I'm going to remember that in my personal cloud there is a rainbow, and people, rainbows go up. They don't go down. Why do they go up? A bow is a bow, whether it's this way or that way. But the rainbow goes not down, but the rainbow goes up, which directs my thinking from my situation to the God who controls the clouds, allowing the clouds to come. It is from dark clouds that the scripture says God sends his lightning, and they are the Lord's arrows shot from his bow. So in the cloudy experiences, we may have thunder, we may have lightning, but this we know from Job chapter 37, verse 16. A little different from the Edelman says, can anybody understand the spreading of the clouds? Now Job, a couple of chapters later, says, do you know how clouds float in the sky? The work of God's amazing skill. Do you know how clouds just float in the sky? Well, it's the work of God's amazing skill. And so we say, well, God, then it must be you're skillfully working on me through these dark experiences. And so in the clouds, I am not going to be afraid. I'm not going to rebel. I'm going to be teachable through the cloudy experiences because I'm going to remember I will come to you in a cloud. Now, people, God has a purpose in permitting the clouds to form. God has a purpose for the thunder to be heard and the lightning to be seen. And just like in Luke's writing on the Mount Transfiguration, the disciples were afraid as they entered the cloud. The faithful God whom we worship today permits the change and permits the uncertainty. And listen to this. In order to inspire fear, reverential fear of God. So it's very important that we understand that that we shouldn't revolt against the idea of fear. Far better to fear than to remain insensitive. The only remedy is knowing the faithfulness of God that reaches up to the clouds. And our fear caused by God's clouds, or clouds allowed by God, will be steady and subdued into reverence, and then we'll find the clouds are actually the fountain of our life, because that's where God is. And if we remember that the cloud is the home of God, this is what helps me so much. The cloud is the home of God. Our fear will most certainly be chastened into reverence, and in the very midst of the clouds, we can have communion with God, who is the transfigured Lord. And the little poem goes, you fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. The cloud of Gethsemane broke with the resurrection. And so Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, he comes with the cloud, and we which are alive shall together with them be caught up in the cloud together and forever be with the Lord. One final word about the cloud. God says through Isaiah, I will cover your iniquities like a cloud. Forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Lord, the question the pastor asked, are there black clouds covering us right now? Just what are the clouds? And yes, if we would be honest with ourselves, we are all in cloudy existences right now. Some of our clouds are so black we can't see. And the thunder is being heard and the lightning is being flashing around us. But God, may that soul who is experiencing that degree of a cloud realize that you live in a cloud. And for the rest of us who maybe at this very moment are not experiencing the dark clouds but still are living in clouds, because clouds are the shadow of the existence of our being, we would say it's okay too, because I'm going to find life in it. I'm going to find grace in it. I'm going to find direction in it. And above all, I'm going to find God's promises in the cloud.
Praise God for the clouds in our lives. For the joy that was before him, he endured the cross. Weeping endures for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. The scripture that our pastor asked us to remember was Exodus 19:9. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud. I went on with the latter part of that. So that the people, and I'm going to paraphrase it the way I see this, the way I understand it, so that the people will hear me speaking with you or through you, and will always put their trust in you, God, through me. Did you hear that? So that the people will hear me. I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me. The people will hear me through you and will always put their trust in me through you. We are the vessels of that cross, the horizontal that reaches out to one another and to comfort with the comfort we've been comforted with. Our Creator knows what he's doing in our lives. He's remaking us into his image. He's remaking us into what he has purposed to be for his glory. And whether we like it or not, in fact, sometimes it's rather scary. He has given his spirit to work through each one of us, and all we can see sometimes is an inadequate vessel through which his spirit works, a fleshy person. The Lord is requiring that we trust him through this one. And if this one is opened to the clouds in their life, how much more God's glory is going to shine through that individual, through the circumstances they're going through. God says that each one of you have a new melody. And whether you know it or not, you're going to be comforting with the comfort that you've been comforted with through the clouds. And they're varying clouds, they're different kinds of clouds, through the clouds that he asked you to go through. But he knows what he's doing, and we can trust him because he loves us so much. I'm going to ask us to all come up here and join hands together.